You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
I want to welcome all of those joining us on podcast and live stream on YouTube, Facebook, however you're joining us. We're thrilled to have you. Before I just get started in the Word today, I'm just boiling with excitement about all that's happening this coming year. All that's going to be happening in our church, the direction we're going, our different groups. I don't know if you realize this, but on Wednesday night when we're in here having service, we've got some 40, sometimes 50. I believe they had 60 kids at their Christmas party in another building just across the way. Austin's been having 20 to 25 junior high. That's just 7th and 8th graders across the way. I mean, things are happening here on a daily basis, and I'm blessed for all of us to be a small part of it. For those of you who don't know, maybe joined our church recently, the second week of January, we host a church ministries conference. And that's a time for churches that look to our church for some input. They bring their entire church ministry staff here for us to do a 3-day training with them. This year, the dates of that are January 14th, 15th, and 16th. And it's amazing to me, this is our 20th one to do. For 20 years, we've been doing this, and here we are on our 20th annual Church Ministries Conference, and we've already got pastors bringing their staff registered from Texas, from Missouri, from Tennessee, from several places around the country that are coming in here, and we're excited about it. So first of all, I want to let you know that for those that don't know, we're hosting that. That's a big, important event for our church, and I ask our church to pray for us as we have a real chance of input into these other churches and their direction for this next year. But I also want to let you know, for all of those who are involved here, you need to be here. I don't want other churches bringing their staff here for training, and our staff is not here. So if you are volunteering in nursery or children or youth, or you do Connect Group, or you do a Bible study, or you're a part of this ministry with Sound in the Lights, and I don't know, whatever areas all that we're involved in here, for sure, I want our church ministers to be here in this training time. So for all of you who do anything here on a regular basis in this church, you're a part of this church ministries conference as well. It'll be a great conference, a lot of fantastic teaching and information that we're going to be doing. So I want y'all to be here on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of that week if you're involved in this, in our church and in the ministry that we do here. Also, before I start, I want to go over two things that Josh said. For those of you who are used to tuning Josh out and not listening to anything he says, let me go over again. I know y'all don't do me that way, but I understand. Wednesday night. Did we say Wednesday night? Did we say Wednesday night we're not having church? We've only said that 97 times. I'm shocked at people that show up on Wednesday night and then call me. Where is everybody? Well, that lets me know you're not on the cutting edge of paying attention here. So did we announce no church this Wednesday night? I just want to make sure that we announce that. And did we say what goes up must come down? Have we discussed that? Well, I'll find out in the morning at 8 o'clock if we did. Because I know some of you high school guys are not in school. So you go, oh, I had work, I had school. You boys in high school, y'all don't have a job. I already know that. And you're not in school. So I don't know why this place in the morning at 8 won't be full of high school students down here helping us out. If I can't shame you, maybe parents will shame you. I don't know. Paul wants me to keep on this announcement because if y'all don't come, he's going to carry every one of these trees out by himself as Josh and I boss Paul tomorrow. So it's important that y'all come and help us out tomorrow. It won't take long. It won't take us long at all to take this down and to store it properly so that it'll be ready to come out. Just in a few days, we'll be putting it back up, it seems like. My goodness, life is going fast. Well, are you ready to receive the word today? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Today is the last Sunday of 2020, and for me to say, wow, what a year it's been, may be the most underrated understatement of the world. What a year this has been. For those of you that are joining our church this last year, maybe or maybe not you're even aware of, our church every year has a focus. We have a focal point, a theme, a direction for that year, because we here, we just refuse. Now, we refuse to hold a religious exercise because it's Sunday. I mean, it's Sunday and you go to church because that's what you do. It's Sunday, I get up here and preach a sermon because that's what I do. And we go through the motions of having church. We're not doing that. We're not doing that here. We're not having people come here and expecting to get nothing and leaving not disappointed. You can tell those paying attention. It'll be a ripple effect on that joke. For those who didn't even get that, somebody explain it to them. You leave here expecting nothing and getting nothing. We're not having that here. We're not doing that here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God. All scripture is inspired by, well, Tim, do you have a word for us today? Yes, I do. I'm going to read the Bible. Well, what is God saying? I just want to know, what's God saying to the churches? Well, read Genesis to Revelation. You'll know what he's saying to the church. Well, what's God saying? I mean, what is God saying to me this year? Read the Beatitudes. You'll know exactly what God is saying to you this year. See, all scripture is inspired by God. Now, look very carefully. I want you to look at this. Four things that he's very clear on. Here's what the scripture does. Here's what the Bible does. Number one, teach us what is true. Make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Number three, it corrects us when we're wrong. And it teaches us what is right. Four things that scripture does in our life. So if a Sunday morning message, if a Sunday morning church service does not teach you what's true, show you what's wrong in your own personal life. If it doesn't correct you, oh man, shouldn't have said that last week. Oh, good grief. Oh man, I can't believe I thought that. See, if the Sunday morning church service does not correct you where you're wrong, then it's not based on scripture, because that's what scripture does. That's what the Bible does. Well, Tim, you sure stepped on my toes this morning. I meant to. That was the plan. The whole plan was to step on everybody's toes that was here and to just whip the daylights out of you. That's what the plan was. So that we can grow in our faith. So that we can mature. We didn't come here to pat you on the head. You came here to be shown what's true, to be told what's wrong, to correct me where I'm wrong, to get me going straight. And you're never, ever going to come here on a Sunday and not be taught and corrected. And let me just say, you should never go to a church that does not do that. Teach what's right, correct what's wrong. I'll tell you, I can tell you right now, I didn't come to church to be chastised. Well, then quit church and join a civic club. That's what they do. They give money. They do good things for people. They help people and they never correct what's wrong in your life. We're not a civic club here. That's not what we do. The church, a Bible-centered church, does, and we do this because that's what's in the Bible, teach what's true, make us realize what's wrong, corrects us when we're wrong, and teaches what is right. The church teaches us what God thinks about moral issues. What God thinks about marriage, the home, the children. What God thinks about finances. What God thinks about what's happening in culture. What God thinks about trends and thoughts that are out there today. The Bible brings us back to a solid foundation of here's what God says about this issue. Now, I appreciate what this football star says about it. I appreciate what this Hollywood star says about it. That's all good. But what does God say about this issue? And that's what we came here to find out today. Well, I think the church should stay out of politics. I'm not going to argue with that, because we stay out of politics here. We're not political here. We're biblical here. It just so happens when politicians tell us opposite of what Jesus taught, as a teacher of the Bible, I'm going to come in here and tell you what Jesus said about that. Oh, Tim, he's so political. No. I'm very wrapped up in what Jesus said. And I'm going to read you the parable of what Jesus said about that. I'm going to tell you what Jesus said about capitalism versus socialism. That's not a political issue. Jesus was very clear on how we are to operate, how a society is to operate. He's very clear on how a government is to run. He's very clear on capitalism and socialism. So all Tim's on his political soapbox, and I'm just preaching a parable today. I'm teaching you what Jesus said. And this church will never avoid scriptures that the political world has now made controversial. We're not going to avoid those. We're going to talk about what the Bible says. I'm going to tell you what God says about capitalism and socialism. I'm going to tell you what God says about life in the womb. That's not a political issue. I'm just going to read Jeremiah to you today. See, here's the problem with saying church should stay out of politics, is that we fail to understand in our day and time, politics has gotten involved in biblical morality. I understand there are two sides to political parties. There's a political party, we got two sides, and one political party believes we should pave this street. The other political party believes we should use the tax money to fix this bridge. I will stay out of that. Y'all discuss it, figure it out, and pave the street or fix the bridge, whichever you think is best for us. But you got to understand. You got to understand we're not being political here when we teach on marriage is one woman, one man for a lifetime. That's not a political issue. That's not a political issue. It's not political for me to come in here and preach. If a man does not work, he does not eat. So I'm against sending the government check to some healthy, able-bodied person who don't work. Let him not eat. Oh, Tim, you ever said, I'm preaching scripture today. It's not political to say that we are against minimum wage requirements of any shape, form, or fashion, because Jesus was very clear on a business owner's position to pay employees like that business owner decides to pay those. Jesus was very clear. On and on and on. Our church, we talk, oh, we're political, and we laugh and we talk about that, but really, I want you to know our church is biblical. That's what we teach here. We teach biblical principles, and we're going to correct wrong thinking by political figures. Well, Tim, who are you to say that's wrong? I'm not ever up here saying that's wrong. I'm just telling you what God said about this. That's what I do. I tell you what God says is wrong in life and what God says is right in life, because we here teach from God's word. Now, when the state called me here just recently and told me that we were not going to meet and what phase they would allow us to meet in, and then begin to explain to me how I would sit the crowd in here and where I would mandate the seating. They went on to tell me that our congregation couldn't sing and that those on stage singing had to be 16 feet from the closest person. And I just began to listen to all that and listen to that. And y'all that know me, in my tactful way, I explained to them the separation of church and state. And I invited them to our service this Sunday morning, of which we would be holding, and you would be able to sit wherever you chose to sit. So I explained that to them. See, because there is a reason that we're here today. God mandated it. God, our governor didn't mandate this. God mandated that we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves one with another, because there's a purpose in us meeting here. See, we're here because there's a reason for us being here, a purpose for us being here. There is a responsibility on our part to be here because God said so. This is a God mandate. And because of that, and because we're here on a God mandate, we here refuse to have a religious exercise service that doesn't offend anybody, that enables us to take up a large offering, because we sure don't want to run any of our givers off. We're going to read the Bible, let the chips fall where they may, because it's going to show you what's wrong and tell you what's right. And when you do what God says is right, you can live a blessed life. You can live a blessed life. And that's why we teach the Bible here. We're not going through the motions of having a religious exercise. Because of that, We're not going to go through an entire year just holding religious services. We're not going to go through an entire year doing that. You know, when we travel in life, we travel with destinations in mind. We leave here with a destination in mind. Josh just took his family to Houston. That means when they pulled out of the drive, whether you go north, south, east, or west, see, you make decisions based on where you want to be in life. This generation doesn't really understand that. They think they can be in a blessed place and make decisions to get them in a cursed place. See, if you want to go to a blessed place, see, I want to go to Longhorn Steakhouse. I want to meet some friends over in a movie theater in Benton. See, I want to go to some friend's house for the weekend. That decision determines every decision that I make in life. No, well, it's fun. No doubt it would be fun this weekend, but that won't get me the happy marriage that I want to have. I'm not arguing whether that would be fun for you on Friday night, but that won't get you the financial blessed place that you want to be. See, no doubt that'd be a thrill, but that won't get you physically in health to the place. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So we got to understand this. I believe it's very important that we don't aimlessly go through life, that we have a destination in mind, because that destination determines our decisions along the way. Because we believe that, because we're so convinced of that, each year, the first Sunday of the year, we lay out a theme, a direction, a focus for that year. We're not going to just come here and see what happens. Where are we going this year? What do we want to master? What do we want to understand? What do we want to get a hold of? So we're going to have a theme on the first of the year to get us there. I digress and say, next Sunday, be here. That's what we're going to be doing for 2021. Whatever your plans are, cancel. Be here. You got to be here. Get on your media, tell all of your friends, be here. All of those that are occasional church comers and goers, tell them you got to be here. We got to know where we're going. We got to know where we're going. That's what we're going to do next Sunday. Well, today is the last Sunday of 2020. January 5th of this year was our Vision Sunday for 2020. We talked about the fact that to grow anything, you have to have a right environment to grow that in. And in the Bible, we are very aware that mankind is God's focus. Mankind is God's priority. It's his desire. We don't read the Bible and God spend chapter after chapter after chapter on how to feed our livestock. How to feed your dogs and your cats and your horse. We don't read chapter and chapter about what kinds of food do you feed your animals. Well, we don't read chapter and chapter and chapter on how to grow crops. There's no specs on how to build cars or build houses. All in the Bible is about mankind and our relationship with him and our relationship with each other. All through the Bible, we are the center of God's focus. That's what God wants, is a relationship with us, us having a relationship with him, and he's against those things that break that relationship. He's for what brings that relationship closer, and that's what the Bible is all about. Okay, why does Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, not start off? In the beginning, God created man in his image. He created he them, male and female. Why is that not chapter 1, verse 1? A lot happens between chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 26. Are you aware of that? A lot. I mean, just everything. Just pretty much every single thing happens in those first 25 verses. Well, if man is God's focus, then why didn't he say, in the beginning, God created man after his image? You know, we don't get to that till a lot of things happen. See, God began to show us in chapter 1 of Genesis how life would work. What good would it have done for man, for God to desire man in a relationship with man and bring man into formless and voidness and darkness? Man couldn't exist in 10 seconds, not a millisecond, just evaporate. The heat, the cold, the lack of oxygen, the separation of, I mean, you just go on and on and on. Man could not have survived not one millisecond had God brought us in on the scene. God had to create a place first for what he desired to happen. When we saw that, clearly, this is the way life works for us. Why would you want peace and want to bring peace into a home that's fussing, fighting, yelling, cussing, arguing, threatening divorce, ever other sentence, throwing things at each other? But I just want peace so bad. I just want finance. I just want finances. Tim, I just want money. I don't want to have to worry about money. But you bring it into a home that spends more than you make. So I just want friends, but you're the most unfriendly person in the world. See, in our vision for 2020, we talked about the importance of creating a place for what you desire to happen to happen. See, God created a place for man not only to live, but he created a place for man to thrive and for man to multiply, for man to grow. See, I want to create a place not only for peace to visit me, I want to create a place for peace to thrive and to grow and just be abundant in my life. Our focus was this year, first of all, what is your desire? God wants you to have the desires of your heart. Okay, are you creating a place for that desire to thrive, to grow, and to reproduce? So, here we are today, the last Sunday of 2020. How did we do? I mean, that's a pretty valid question, I'd say. How did we do? Here's the first question. Did last year, with our theme, first question is, did you become daily aware of the fact, I've got to create a place for what I want? And if I continue to think this thought, it's not going to produce joy. So see, I'm aware now of the fact I've got to create a place for what kind of life I want to happen. It's just ridiculous to want a big bank account and continue to spend more than you make. It's foolish to want happiness and joy when you live daily mad and frustrated. I got to create a place for what I want to happen. This year, did you become aware that a place has to be created for what you want? The next question is, what you doing about it? You're not going to come here in this church and hear a religious-sounding, theoretical sermon. We're going to, here's what God said, and here's what you do about it. Here's the way you go make this happen. Okay, first of all, are you aware that you got to create a place? Now, what are you doing about it? What specifically are you doing about that in your life? Can you identify some certain 1, 2, 3 things that you were doing, that you stopped doing, and now you are doing to create a place for what you desire to happen? Here we are, the last Sunday of 2020. How are we doing with our theme? I think that's a very important question for us to ask ourselves before we just, old anxiety be forgot. Let's move on to the next deal. Drop your ball, drop, and Happy New Year. Okay, well, what did we learn from last year? What did we benefit from that? What did we grow in our lives for that? God always sees ahead. We can't, but God does. Oh, in January, when I was up here sharing this vision and preaching this vision, little did we know how vital this vision was going to be come February and March. Whoa! I'm just telling you right now, I have never in all of my life ever been more happy and appreciative of our vision that God gave us than I was this year. The direction that God had us on, I am more thankful to the Lord for this direction of this year, because I don't know that I could have made it through all that happened this year. I got a pretty short fuse and I don't respond well to a lot of things in life. I needed to get a hold of, you got to create a place. You got to create a place. In January 5th, I stood here and I said, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to enjoy my life, and I'm going to live life and live life more abundant. I had no idea what was about to happen to the economy. I had no idea about how this coronavirus and all this stuff. I had no idea how. I mean, I didn't know, but I tell you, I'm going to live in life, and I'm going to live it more abundant, and I'm going to be happy. Here's the deal. Life happens, and it happens to all of us. There's been a lot of hurt in 2020. Some of you individually have been greatly hurt this year. There's been a lot of pain this last year in homes, in families, in lives. There's been a lot of pain. There's been a lot of loss. There's been a lot of loss in businesses. There's been a lot of loss in finances, a lot of loss in financial investments. Been a tough, tough year. But we got to understand that's life being lived in a fallen world. See, that's life being lived with imperfect people. Things happen that hurt us and hurt us deeply. That's imperfect people. Things happen that we didn't plan, and that's just the way life happens. And it is in this and because of this that Jesus came to bring us life and life more abundant. He didn't come to bring us life and life more abundant when the economy is great and businesses are flourishing. He also came to bring us life and life more abundant when everybody was told to shut their business down. See, Jesus came to bring you abundant life because he knew the world couldn't deliver that. He came to bring you peace because he knew the world can't deliver that peace. That's why Jesus did what he did. I will live happy. I will live blessed in the midst of this imperfect world. I will live happy and I will live blessed in and with imperfect people and imperfect events that greatly make me mad, upset me, hurt me, and disappoint me. I'm still going to live happy and blessed. Regardless of who does what, regardless of who says what, regardless of what happens, however long I've got on this earth, I'm going to enjoy my day and live happy. Well, this year's theme was just perfect for me. I had to create a place for that to happen. I had to. I never thought that I would turn off all news channels, because I watch news all the time. I never thought that I'd turn off all news channels, but I never thought I'd be lied to by the news channels. I never thought they would just out and out lie to me. I never thought that I'd quit watching all basketball and football, because that's what I watched. My wife and I watch football and a lot of football. But I never thought that from the opening ceremonies to all the stuff on the jerseys and the helmets to all the banners on the field would be so ungodly, would be so anti-American that it would make a knot in my stomach just trying to watch a few minutes of football. See, I love God. I love America. And there is no second. We still are, with all of our imperfections, the greatest place in the world to live. And because of that, when I turned on the first football game of the season, I was all excited. Oh, football is back. And that, from jump go, from the commentators' jump go and what they were endorsing, stole my peace. I've not turned another second of football on. Not one down have I watched. Because let me tell you about me. I'm not going to keep going and having my peace stolen and just going and having my peace. Are you hearing this? Why do you keep doing what's not working for you? For crying out loud, if that's not producing joy in your life, turn that off. If that's not producing happiness and peace in your life, if that's not drawing you closer to God, get away from that. If that relationship you're in is not bringing you to church and drawing you closer to God, then why stay in that? I love to watch football, but not now. Not now. Because without a doubt, America's still the greatest country in the world to live in. All those taking a knee, all those anti-Americans talking about how horrible America is, you never see them making a homemade raft and shoving off the shore floating to another country. I want you to just think about this since we're into it. If a ship picks up a raft of people out in the ocean and they can't speak their language, 100% of the time you can know where they're trying to get. 100% of the time, you can know where that raft is trying to float to. At night, in the middle of the woods, when you don't know north, south, east, or west, and you're in the woods, and the border patrol in the dark intercepts a group of people, you can know which direction they're going. 100% of the time. Is it interesting to you that Mexico and Canada are not trying to build a wall to keep our thugs out of their country? You know why? Even our thugs know America is the greatest place in the world to live. Even our thugs know this is the greatest country. They're not trying to leave here. I hear the national anthem. I'm standing and I'm thanking God for America and thanking God for the men and the women who laid their life down so that I can live here how we live here. So, no football for me. No news for me. Why? Because I'm creating a place for peace and not anger in my heart. I've watched a lot of old Westerns. Let me tell you about Westerns for some of you who are deprived and don't know. The thing about Westerns, the bad guys, the ones that cheat, always get shot. The good guys in the white hats always ride off with music playing into the sunset. And it's just an exhilarating feeling. I mean, I love Westerns. I watch Westerns, I'm full of peace and joy. Last night, 7 o'clock, Terry and I turned on an old John Wayne movie. For 3 hours, we watched that Western. At the end of it, we were in bed, and we both just sat up and gave each other a high five. Yeah, baby! That bad guy that was mean to those little boys and mean to all those people, yeah, he got what was coming. Oh, yeah! Hey, it's simple. It's real simple to me. Turn off in your life what makes you mad, what makes you use profanity, what makes you hard to live with, whatever you're feeding yourself with that makes your wife hate you, you ought to turn that off. Whatever input that you're having that makes you a jerk to be at supper with for your kids, that's why I watch Rodeo. It's on the Cowboy Channel every night. Rodeo opens with prayer in Jesus' name. They open with the national anthem. All those cowboys standing with their hats off. I would pity the cowboy that took a knee at a rodeo. It'd be a bad day for him, Leroy. Well, Tim, you just can't be an ostrich and stick your head in the sand. I'm not saying that. What I'm teaching is Philippians. Think these thoughts, not these thoughts. What I'm teaching is Colossians. Put this off and put this on. What I'm teaching is Corinthians. You take every thought captive. See, the Bible is clear on how to live life and life abundant. And it's not by you feeding yourself things that make you mad, things that make you angry, things that jerk you up, things that make a knot in your stomach, things that make you sad, things that hurt you. You can't dwell on those. And without realizing it, you are creating a place. When you go see a horror movie, I can't believe I'm having such bad dreams. You created a place for bad dreams to happen. Every time a motor starts up, you think it's a chainsaw. Come on, what are you feeding yourself? What are you feeding yourself? Is it getting you to the destination in life that you're looking for? You can't dwell on hurt and be happy. You can't dwell on things that make you mad and angry and be full of peace and joy. Me watching RFD and the Cowboy Channel. By the way, RFD is 3345 channel. Cowboy Channel is 603 channel. Now, I'm not working for commission for those two channels. I'm just telling you, in our home, I'm creating a place. In the midst of a very hurtful year, in the midst of a very confusing year, in the midst of a year where we were just blatantly stolen from, lied to, and cheated, I can stand here today and say I've never been this happy. I've never been this more full of joy, and I've never been this excited about the direction our church is going. Jesus came to bring us life and life more abundant, and I'm going to continue to create a place for me that flourishes in my life. Where are you at the end of 2020? I want to ask you, are you spending time in God's Word? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you listening to our podcast to work and to home? To work, and when you get in the car, our church podcast just comes on and you're inputting things in your life that produce and make joy thrive. Are you spending time working on relationships with your very close friends? Do you spend time volunteering in this church, serving this church? Are you spending time going by and visiting a shut-in, or driving somebody to a doctor's appointment that can't drive themselves, or you spending time cooking for a young mother that's just had a baby that needs some help for these next few weeks. See, are you building yourself up in faith, and are you daily creating a place where each day you can say, I had a good day today? See, having a good day is not by accident, and it sure isn't in a fallen world. You create a place for a good day to be possible for you. Think the thoughts. Do the things that make a good day possible. Fill your mind with what makes good thoughts possible. Say the words out of your mouth that make a good day possible. Listen to the words coming out of your mouth, and I can tell you, you can't have a good day with those words coming out of your mouth. Spend your time creating a place for you to enjoy and experience a good day. You got to stop. You got to stop dwelling on how hurt you are, how lonely you are, how lied to you've been, how cheated you've been. You got to stop putting your thoughts on the loss that you have experienced. These thoughts are not creating a place for the life that you want to live and making that possible. As we end 2020, here's what I want you to know. This year's theme is not one that we can leave and move on to the next year. We can't do that. At New Year's Eve this week, as we're singing and blowing our little deals, and as old anxiety, pass away, and the ball starts to drop, and we're all jumping up, or y'all are. I'll go to sleep about 7:30 or 8. As y'all are doing all of that, here's what I want you to know. Next Sunday, January 3rd, next Sunday is the first Sunday of 2021. Have we said you need to be here? Get on your phone, get on your social media, make sure everybody's here. Get all that you can get here to hear our vision for next year. But I want you to know something. This year's creating a place, as we are this week taking our signs down, putting up new signs, getting ready for Vision Sunday, this is just not a theme that we can leave. This is not a theme that we can blow our deal and have our New Year's Eve party and say, "Woo, I'm glad 2020 is over." This is not a theme that we can leave. We're going to take our signs down, and we're going to have a new theme, and we're going to have a direction that we're going in this next year, and I couldn't be more excited about it. But we cannot walk away and leave this theme out of our daily life. As forward as I'm looking to a new year, as forward as I'm looking to 2021, I want to hold on to the lessons in life that I've learned in 2020. Every day of your life, your focus of the day is creating a place for life and for life abundant, to live, to thrive, and to reproduce. Y'all stand with me. Lord, we give you thanks for your word in our life and the direction from you that we get. Lord, that we continue to roll up our sleeves and create a place for you to dwell in our hearts. Lord, as we look forward to this next year and what you have in store for us, Lord, we're not walking away from the lessons that you've taught us and the maturity that's come in our life through this last year. We honor you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.